Welcome to the Crossover Alliance podcast. I'm your host, David N. Alderman, here to talk to you about writing, publishing, and Christianity in today's culture. You can find out more about our publishing company, see our available stories, and sign up for our free email newsletter by visiting thecrossoveralliance.com. And with that, here's the show. Welcome to our very first podcast, episode number one. With this being our introductory podcast, we'll be talking about who the Crossover Alliance is, what kind of books we publish, and what you can expect from upcoming podcast episodes. To start with, who is the Crossover Alliance? Well, we're a publishing company specializing in fiction that exists in the crossover between Christian and secular fiction. The way I would describe what we do is to say that we publish Christian fiction with real-world content. This isn't to say we have edgy content in our fiction to appease the masses, but more to say that we like to tell stories the way stories are meant to be told, without the bumper brackets that Christian publishers have put on fiction in the past. This is actually our second go as a publishing company. The first started in July of 2015, ran for 5 years, and was then closed down due to some personal healing I myself had to undergo regarding a divorce. Then about a year ago, it was decided that the company be reopened, and here we are. Our origins actually go back to 2009, when I finished penning an apocalyptic science fiction series called Black Earth. Black Earth wasn't meant to be a series, it was supposed to be a short story prequel to my other series, Expired Reality. But as writers can attest, sometimes the stories get out of control and end up taking much more real estate than they were originally intended to. The first novel in the series, End of the Innocents, held very strong Christian themes. An alien species sides with Satan's army to destroy mankind. The themes of the book revolve around the end of the world, of a planet, Earth, being shrouded in absolute darkness as the sun is blotted out and humanity is slaughtered at the hands of otherworldly creatures. Throughout the book, the main character attempts to remain celibate, has frequent conversations with God, and is constantly referencing his faith beliefs. Some of you may be wondering why this book rides the line between secular and Christian fiction. Well, the book itself contains what we'll call real-world content. My characters cuss, occasionally when necessary for character. There is violence and gore. The sexual content found in the series addresses everything from sexual immorality to self-satisfaction. There's even a rape scene in the first chapter. When I first wrote End of the Innocents and the content found in the story, I was terrified at the outrage I would get from readers, Christian readers in particular. The first chapter in End of the Innocents portrays a rape scene at a nightclub in Scottsdale, Arizona. Why did I write it, you're probably asking? How could a Christian man write a rape scene and call it Christian fiction? Well, the young woman who is raped in the story is Cynthia Ruin, a promiscuous woman who flaunts her sexuality like she was selling wares from a booth downtown. The rape shell-shocks her and sobers her thinking. Throughout the next 4 books, Cynthia goes through a transformation, not just mentally or physically, but also emotionally and spiritually. She undergoes a whole process of shifting from Cynthia Ruin to Sin and back to Cynthia Ruin, where her character arc finally finds redemption of a sort. The rape scene, one which I guarantee no Christian publisher would have touched with a 10-foot pole, was integral to Cynthia's character development. It also showcased something that occurs in the real world, tragedy. Throughout her arc, her tragedy is turned into vice and then into redemption. Without the rape, without that event to change pieces of her character and personality, Cynthia would have never turned out the way she did. When I finished writing End of the Innocents, I didn't know what I had. Not really. The book was a mix of Christian themes with dark content. I mean, when you have objects crashing into Earth, demons and aliens seeking to destroy humanity, and the sun being blotted out, you're going to have some weird, dark things happening. I decided to send my book to my editor, a woman of the Christian faith. I was sure she would denounce my writing as heresy or some unforgivable sin. I know that sounds a bit extreme, but at the time, and even now, that type of content was not allowed in Christian fiction. Not to that extreme, anyway. There had been a serious stigma surrounding not only sexual content in Christian fiction, but also aliens. My editor sent my manuscript back to me with edits. Regarding that rape scene in particular, she said it was tastefully done. Not only was I surprised, but I also felt a new sense of freedom. Freedom not to write edgy content just to be edgy, but to write this kind of content because that's what the story called for. I self-published End of the Innocents. The reaction was a mixed bag. Some readers loved the book, praising the blending of Christian tones and real-world content, while other readers loathed the fact that I had cursing in the book. Soon, other authors started contacting me. One in particular, Mark Carver, suggested we start a community for those specializing in this type of fiction. And so, the Crossover Alliance was born. It quickly turned from a community to a short story anthology to an actual publishing press. We published dozens of books in a variety of genres, released short story anthologies in a variety of themes and topics, and did our best to engage with our community of Christian and non-Christian readers and writers. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I had to shut the company down in 2021. I was still recovering and healing from a divorce I went through back in 2018, and I couldn't spin the number of plates I had going at that time in my life. I knew that I would be more effective as a father to my son if I took some time to heal the way God intended. I was just burnt out by this point, and I didn't know what to do, so I decided the publishing company had to go. Last year, after recalibrating my life and marrying a beautiful, thoughtful, and supportive woman, I, with her very strong nudge, reopened the Crossover Alliance, and now we're ready to not only publish fantastic, quality Christian fiction, but also address some of the cultural progressivity that has been growing over the past few years. It might seem like a juxtaposition in some ways that we create Christian fiction with real-world content, but we're also addressing progressive Christianity within our culture. What's the difference? Can't what we're doing be considered progressive? No, because the difference is biblical core beliefs. No matter what we write, no matter what topics we're addressing, we are doing it with biblical core beliefs at the heart of all of it. What are biblical core beliefs? Simply put, we follow God's word. The very nature of our company, speculative fiction with edgy content and Christian themes, requires that we uphold strict standards of doctrine. We require that all submissions to the Crossover Alliance hold to central Christian doctrines, regardless of denominational lines. Our biblical core doctrines include the Trinity, the deity of Jesus Christ, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, the atoning work of Christ on the cross, and salvation by grace through faith. But this isn't all. Between those lines are God's rules for Christian living, how we should live, how we should treat others, more importantly, how we should have deeper relationship with God. We follow Scripture, Old and New Testament. Today's progressive Christianity likes to remove a lot of the Old Testament Scripture references, or intentionally misinterpret them, to satisfy their need to justify their own actions or beliefs. But you can't remove the Old Testament from your Christian walk. The Old Testament wasn't just a bunch of entertaining stories that served to teach valuable lessons. The entire Old Testament was a prophetic look at the coming of Jesus Christ. More than that, the Old Testament perfectly showcases God's love for us, but within the context of what love entails: discipline, judgment, and relationship. All the hallmarks of a healthy parent-child relationship. The New Testament is equally important. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the letters that instruct us how to live as Christians. It's also a historical narrative telling how the church was born and where the church is supposed to be going. A lot of biblical doctrines may not always be evident in your work, and that's okay, but we don't want stories that purposely work to deny these doctrines. There's plenty of great Christian stories that aren't obviously Christian on the surface, but if you dig a bit, you'll find the Christian foundations within the undercurrent of the story. There are certainly going to be some doctrinal issues that many Christians don't always see eye to eye on that have nothing to do with their salvation or their sinful nature. What will things be like in the end times, and what is a true interpretation of the book of Revelation? How should churches be structured? Should women teach? Should church potlucks exist? These are issues that can certainly be discussed, but that hold no bearing on whether we're going to heaven or not. The beauty of the Bible is that many verses contain gaps in story, leaving room for speculation. This is why speculative fiction exists. However, these stories shouldn't veer from grounded and clear biblical passages in both the Old and New Testament. Speculative fiction can remain sound because it uses the Bible as its frame. Your fiction shouldn't contradict Scripture. Nor should the edgy content in your fiction exist simply to be edgy. Want to write some sex scenes? They should have something to do with your plot, your character development, or your overall story arc. Do those scenes get their point across but also honor God? Describing in deep erotic detail the sultry curves of a woman who's engaging in extramarital sex, while ignoring the sinful nature of the act itself, serves no real purpose, in most cases. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says that all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. In other words, just because you can doesn't mean you should. You have to ask yourself if the edgy or real-world content included in your work is to make it more relatable to your readers, add to your various characters' development, or to create a backdrop of the world we live in today. The Crossover Alliance exists to publish Christian fiction, but more than that, we're stepping into the cultural ring to address the Christian faith in our very toxic culture. Some use the term cancel or woke to describe our current state of affairs. Before we move on, let me assure you this podcast will not be a sermon series, but more of a look at the implications of the Christian faith rubbing up against today's culture. Truth be told, progressive Christianity has saturated our world, especially American culture. And because of this, believers can have a hard time sifting the right from the wrong. Today's culture has done a great job of twisting biblical core beliefs with watered-down, feel-good religion to create something of a Frankenstein Christianity. This is not God's intention. Over the years, people, specifically Christians, have watered down the Christian faith, taking the Bible out of context and twisting scripture to justify their sinful nature. Our culture is full of Christians praising abortion because a woman has a right to choose, and men don't have a right to tell women what to do with their bodies, promoting homosexuality because love is love, and doing mental and social gymnastics around the trans movement because everyone is entitled to be who they were born to be. Many Christians profess that God would never judge these things, that Jesus was some sort of hippie that accepted everyone for who or what they are. But what many of these Christians don't seem to grasp, which is quite ironic, is that Jesus died to transform us. He died on the cross so that we could repent, or turn from, our sinful ways and accept forgiveness and grow in relationship with Him. Jesus didn't die on the cross so we can shoot finger guns and wink at our neighbors while they do the very things that clearly offend God. Now, should we love our neighbor? Absolutely. But what is love? The definition seems to shift depending on who is using the term. Is love acceptance? Is love tolerance? Is love ignorance? Would it be love for me to allow a lost individual to walk over the side of a cliff? No, love would be stopping them from walking over that cliff and then being there to help make sure they never try to walk over that cliff again. A lot of times, a lot, Christians are pegged as judgmental for addressing cultural issues. But really, that accusation is more to deflect the issues. Is it judgment to call out people's sin? Yes, it can be, depending on how we address it. But the Bible never said to not judge. It simply said to take the plank out of your own eye before you can see well enough to help your neighbor take the one out of theirs. The cultural blur, the rise of progressive Christianity, is probably the single most destructive thing in the Christian church today, and in society as a whole. Pastors are afraid to speak the truth from God's word for fear of offending people. Christians are afraid to gently rebuke and correct their friends, neighbors, colleagues for fear of being too judgmental. Parents are afraid to, well, parent their children because they somehow believe that teaching their kids the difference between right and wrong will stop them from being who they, quote, were always meant to be, end quote. In this podcast, we'll not only let you know of the upcoming projects we're working on, the newest releases coming from our publishing house, and maybe give some tips on writing here and there, but we'll also address some of the current cultural issues. How can Christian writers thrive in a cancel or woke culture? Why is it important for us to have modern-day discernment? Why is divorce so common in today's culture? And what happened to traditional family values which were designed to hold families together? What are the real dangers of deconstruction? And is there a benefit to tearing apart one's faith with the intention of putting it back together one brick at a time? I'll do my best to explore these topics and more without venturing too close to politics or sermons. Mostly, these will be my own observations about today's culture and how Christianity is becoming usurped by its own members and a corrupted society. Before we wrap up this episode, I'd like to let you know of some of the books we have available. At present, we have over a dozen published books, both in paperback and digital formats. If you like physical, grab the paperback. If you read on the Kindle or any other digital device, we have you covered as well. We are about to venture into audio creation too. Those of you who like to get your stories delivered to your ears, that is coming your way in the perceived future. We have the Black Earth series by yours truly. An alien species known as Legion cooperates with Satan's dark army to destroy mankind and annihilate Earth. The main mission that the protagonist characters in the book have isn't to necessarily stop this evil, but to escape Earth before the darkness consumes each and every one of them. This is a four-book series, with all four books available for purchase. We also have The Tears of Nero by author Jason Brannan. Five complete strangers all awaken on an island with no memory of how they arrived there. Their only clue to what's going on is a note found inside of a bottle buried in the sand. "Dear lambs," the note reads, "I think God is mad at us. If you don't believe it, just look at your own lives for proof. You have all been punished in some way or another. That is why you are valuable to me. You are here to help me understand why bad things happen to good people." Signed, Nero. Much to their horror, these five strangers discover that their captor is modeling himself after the crazed Roman Emperor Nero. Their only goal is to find their purpose for being on the island, and even though none of them seem to have a connection to one another on the surface, it's clear they are all bound in some way to the psychopath who abducted them. The story asks the question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And the third showcase story I'll mention today is Nikolai the Penitent by Mark Carver. Mark Carver was the one who originally came up with the idea of turning the Crossover Alliance community into an actual publishing company. He has a variety of books through the Crossover Alliance, but Nikolai is a book unlike any of his others in that it is more in the vein of historical fiction. The Black Death ravages 14th century Europe. A young man, Nikolai, has lost everything and is swept up in the turmoil. He ends up finding his calling and purpose with the Brotherhood of the Cross, groups of pious men and women who viciously whip themselves as they parade through the streets of sinful cities, hoping their sacrifice will atone for the iniquities of the people. Mark's book takes a good hard look at the lengths some will go to atone for their sins, showcasing the grace and mercy that Christ's death on the cross gives each of us so that we don't have to take such drastic measures to gain the forgiveness we so desperately seek. If you want to know more about these books, head to thecrossoveralliance.com/stories, and you can see a collection of everything we have to offer so far. I'll also put links to these specific titles in the show notes. All in all, I hope you'll continue to enjoy this podcast. I hope it makes you think, really think, about your faith, and for those of you who write, the types of things you write about. If you have an interest in submitting to our company, we are currently taking fiction and nonfiction book proposals, novellas, and short stories. Check out our submissions page at thecrossoveralliance.com/submissions. Well, that brings us to the end of our very first podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed learning more about the Crossover Alliance Publishing Company and what you can expect from our podcast moving forward. If you like this episode, please make sure to spread the word. Talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. Please visit thecrossoveralliance.com to check out our books, submit your own story, and connect with other writers and readers of Christian content. You can also receive a free digital copy of one of our books for signing up for our email newsletter at thecrossoveralliance.com/email-signup. To connect with us socially, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as The Crossover Alliance, and on X as Crossover Ally. You can find me as David N. Alderman on all of these platforms.